It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Thursday, March 14th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And this is Jade, and we're dreaming of tacos and sunshine and live music. So we'll be checking in with our friend David Safar to see if he's discovered anything new in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest.
But first, we are pushing aside our usual Thursday discussion of new music to talk about one of the true icons of the recording era, Mariah Carey. Last night, both Jade and I went to see Mariah at the State Theater in Minneapolis.
The queen herself, yes.
Yeah, it was unbelievably her Minnesota debut.
And at the State Theater, which is a very ornate sort of theater to see somewhere. I thought she'd be playing one of our big sort of stadium show things. But no, instead, it was this really beautiful venue.
Yeah, it was interesting to see her on this tour because this is someone who maybe is not what she once was in terms of top 40 popularity, but was not a one-hit wonder. We're talking about one of the most successful recording artists of all time. She still holds the longest-running number one hit of all time, her Boyz II Men collaboration One Sweet Day, number one for 16 weeks. She had a number one hit for each consecutive calendar year from 1990 through 2000, dominated the 90s. She has 18 number one hits, and she was a writer on 17 of those. Plus, you could say she was arguably more responsible than any other artist for obliterating the line between pop and hip-hop with her string of hits and collaborations in the late 90s. I feel like when she first started collaborating and moving more into the hip-hop realm in the mid-90s, you'd kind of have the two versions, right? You'd have the regular radio version go on the top 40 was just Mariah. Then you drop a rapper, do a remix, and it gets played on, you know, quote-unquote urban radio. But by the early 2000s, hip-hop pretty much was pop music, and Mariah helped make that happen.
Yeah, and she definitely brought that energy, that I am the queen, look at all of my hits, kind of showing that off. I go to a lot of shows, and there were some diva moments here, Jay, that I have never seen in a show before.
My friends were pointing out before we went yesterday that when you search any sort of GIF application for diva, the first GIFs that come up are Mariah. So she does have this diva reputation, and she was definitely playing into it, complete with what she described as a diva moment when she had a makeup artist and a hair person come out and help fix her up in the middle of the show.
I just have never seen that. And I go to pop shows every now and then, you know, Taylor Swift, the Miley Cyruses of the world. And yes, there was as much sparkle as I thought there was going to be.
I'm going to go ahead and say more sparkle than I
really
thought there was. Well, because, so she comes out in this short, beautiful, sparkly dress and performs her first song, A No-No, beautiful, and then goes to take a sip of water, and you notice that her water bottle is also encrusted in sparkles.
I mean, that's what I expect from Mariah Carey. I knew there was probably going to be at least a costume change. I mean, anytime you go to one of these pop shows, there's always a moment where, you know, the singer needs to catch their breath. They've been dancing or whatever, even though Mariah doesn't really dance that much. But there's usually a costume. I think there were at least four, maybe five costume changes throughout this entire show. It was more than I expected, but all of it had glitter.
And one of them had an LED light element, the sort of like snaking like light that would change colors. So you even had kind of like costume changes within the costumes. So yeah, truly epic. And she seemed to be having such a good time.
Yeah, there were a little bit of sound issues earlier, which because she's a diva, she doesn't mind pointing that out and saying this is not acceptable for Mariah. But her voice, and I want to say that she was entirely using her live vocals. There was no sort of pre-recorded things going on here. And her voice sounded beautiful. And if you want to talk about influence, I mean, the quote-unquote whistle sound that everybody's been giving Ariana Grande lots of props for lately, that was all over the place. And that is so Mariah that was like a happy moment for me.
That was, I think, the first sound we heard out of her mouth last night, right? Before the shrouds even like dropped to reveal her, you heard the whistle. And you know it's going to come because she kind of touches her ear, does that little thing. Yeah, but it was fun to see her just basking in the adoration. And it was, as you're saying, Jade, it was a relatively small venue for such a massive star. But I feel like this really like lets her connect with her true fans.
And the fans were connecting. People were singing along. There was a cute moment, and I don't know if she does this in every town, but when she sang Always Be My Baby, which was kind of a highlight for me, quite frankly, because that's one of my go-to Mariah songs. But she brought out her babies to say hi to Minneapolis, and I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, I mean, she sounds great in this R&B moment. R&B is kind of having a comeback in the music landscape, and she certainly is getting new recognition for her foundational role in contemporary R&B. But I feel like she's also loving this current moment of fandoms, right? Everybody, you have to have your fandom now. And so she has her lambs, her lambly. Please say the hard B so you know what we're talking about. And I feel like she just seems so happy to be truly connecting with her fans in a way she probably couldn't in the 90s when she was part of this big record company machine that was churning out huge hits for her that, you know, she, of course, created. But where people would come out because she has this new radio hit, it's the thing to do, it's whatever. Now I felt like the people who were there last night were the people who are embracing her entire career and really were there for Mariah as who she is.
Yeah, it did seem like, you know, being the elder stateswoman of the R&B pop world, she did just get to kind of strut across the stage in these beautiful gowns and just sing. She doesn't have to do those, you know, young pop star things anymore. And she was just basking in that.
There were four extremely attractive male dancers with, I lost track of how many abs there are in their packs. Were they six packs? Were they eight packs? Were they 10 packs?
All the packs.
They had all the pack, yeah. So what was the biggest surprise for you, Jade?
You know, I like that you went back to the early days, Visions of Love. That was cool because you never know what you're really going to get at one of these shows where somebody has such a long career, but they also have a new album. You don't know if they're going to just go play the hits or if they're going to play just their new stuff. So it was nice to kind of go back to early days.
I will say I was surprised. I don't know if it was a good surprise or a bad surprise. I really could have gone either way on this. But I was really curious, having not looked at previous set lists on this tour, I like to be surprised. I really was curious to know whether we would get All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm all about keeping Christmas to Christmas and then really celebrating it hard in December. But for Mariah, I mean, a little fake snow and All I Want for Christmas Is You in March, I wouldn't have been sad about it. But I wasn't sad about anything at this concert. It was super fun.
No, and I thought she wrapped it up really poignantly and beautifully. Hero was the last song, and it just felt like a nice wrap. And she said, you know, this is what I always do because it just feels right. And it did. It felt right to hear.
Yeah, I loved A Star Is Born, the movie. Well, I really liked it. We'll say that. But I felt like that was a movie that really wanted to, like, reach for that big ballad moment at the end. And I know that song is divisive. Some people like it, some people don't. But Mariah just showed she's got the songs, she's got the pipes, she's got the presence. When she reaches for that big bring down the house ballad moment, you know, there aren't many stars in the history of the rock era who can own it like that. You know, you think about maybe like
Whitney. Houston,
yeah, exactly, or Aretha, and Mariah is in that pantheon as far as I'm concerned. So let's talk Austin. Let's go down to Texas, where the Current's David Safar has been hanging out at South by Southwest.
This is David Safar, music director of The Current and host of New Hot, reporting from Austin, Texas during the South by Southwest Music Conference and Festival. And the scene in Austin after a couple days of music is still all about discovering new artists. I think a lot of people were here waiting for some of the big celebrities to show up and maybe make a splash and steal the thunder from what really is a conference and festival that started out being all about music discovery. Some of those discoveries include bands that are based here in Austin, Texas, Black Pumas being one of them. They've been playing a ton of shows. And then bands from around the world, from Australia, Amel and the Sniffers, from the UK, Sam Fender and the artist Yola, plus bands like Fontaine's DC, and everybody's talking about a band called Squid. They seem to be one that are highly sought after. And the question often comes up, is South by Southwest still the place where artists come to break out, get the attention of press and media, traditional media, radio, television, and now, of course, all of the streaming services who are looking to partner with artists? And it seems like it is. A lot of artists are working as hard as they can to play as many shows as possible, take all the opportunities as possible to get the press coverage, be on social media, and partner with places like The Current. We're having a day party on Friday. We're going to be streaming sets from the Barracuda in Austin, Texas. And it really still is about generating buzz for your band. The one thing that's different, though, that people are starting to talk about is that South by Southwest used to be a place for unsigned bands to get signed. That doesn't seem to be happening as much anymore. A lot of the acts here are already somewhat established. It's really just about taking their career to the next step. And for everybody in the press and the media, it's about discovering which act is going to matter in 2019. This is David Suffar, music director of The Current, checking in with you from South by Southwest.
Thank you so much to David Suffar for checking in live from South by Southwest. He dragged himself away from all the live music to let us know what's happening. And yeah, don't forget about that live stream of music. Wherever you are in the world, you can get a little taste of South by Southwest by checking in at thecurrent.org or finding us on YouTube or The Current's Facebook page.
And that's today's music news. We'll be back on Monday with more headlines. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Jade is also our producer today. Jade, what song should we go out on today?
Let's go out with some more Mariah. What was your favorite moment of the show?
I think the Mariah jam for me forever is going to be Heartbreaker.